Messages to the Baha'i World, cassette number 2, side 1, continuing now from page 28.
Last but not least, the internal ornamentation of the Mother Temple of the West has been terminated and design adopted. Funds allocated by the temple trustees for the landscaping of its immediate surroundings, constituting the final step for its approaching jubilee. Appeal American Baha'i community standing on threshold of concluding year of second 7-year plan, traversing the last stage of the austerity period, confronted by the approaching centenary of the darkest, bloodiest episode in Baha'i history, associated with the nationwide holocaust of Tahrir's martyrdom, the Hawala's imprisonment in the Sayyid Shal in Tehran, to arise and scale still loftier heights of self-sacrifice and efface the deficit in the National Fund. Address in particular, fervent plea to brace itself to play a preponderating role in the impending world crusade, which the world community, utilizing the agencies of the divinely appointed World Administrative Order, is preparing to launch amidst the deepening shadows of world crisis in execution of Abdu'l-Bahá's world encircling plan and subsequent unfoldment of world civilization, the ultimate attainment of the supreme objective, the illumination and redemption of the whole world. Advise, share message, National Assemblies East and West, Shogi. Cablegram, April 23, 1952. Rapid progress of world center, decline in fortunes of covenant breakers. On morrow of 60th anniversary of Baha'u'llah's ascension, share double announcement with Baha'i world through all national assemblies. The rapid progress of the enterprise majestically unfolding in the heart of God's holy mountain, and the steady decline in the fortunes of the remnant of old covenant breakers, still defiantly challenging the combined strength of the Baha'i world community. The termination of the octagon, setting the second crown on the holy edifice, synchronizing with last Nowruz festival, was followed by the erection and gilding of the balustrade during the course of the succeeding Rizwan period. Preliminary investigations culminated in the erection of the scaffolding and the commencement of the construction of the drum at an estimated cost of £13,000, constituting the third unit of the edifice preparatory to raising the golden dome. Experiments prior to the placing of the contract for the gilded tiles for the dome concluded. Confidently anticipate the completion of all preliminaries, enabling the builders of the mighty sacred structure to start construction of the dome on the morrow of the opening of the fast approaching holy year, paving the way to the fulfillment of Abdu'l-Bahá's prophecy uttered in the dark days of the First World War, envisaging the glory of the resplendent dome greeting the devout gaze of future pilgrims drawing nigh to the shores of the Holy Land. Old covenant breakers, untaught by the lessons of the past 60 years, the reverses suffered in connection with the restitution of keys to the shrine, the evacuation and restoration of the mansion, the devastating loss in rapid succession of outstanding leaders and spokesmen, backed by the support of the perfidious Sorab, engaging the services of a clever, hostile lawyer, unitedly challenged the authority conferred by Abdu'l-Bahá's testament and instituted legal proceedings against the guardian of the faith, questioned his right to demolish the dilapidated house situated within the precincts and constituting an affront to the most holy shrine of the Baha'i world, were rebuffed through the intervention of the Israel government, denying the competence of the civil court to adjudicate the matter. Subsequently threatened to appeal the government decision to the Supreme Court, provoked the authorities who, in consequence of my representations to both the Prime Minister and the Minister of Foreign Affairs issued authorization to demolish the ruins. Short-sighted action prompted by blind, uncontrollable animosity resulted in the irretrievable curtailment of long-standing privileges extended to the covenant breakers during the course of 6 decades on the occasion of the celebration of the Baha'i Holy Days. The signal success in the removal of the ruins was immediately followed by landscaping the approaches to the shrine, the erection of a gate, and the embellishment of the surroundings of the tomb of Baha'u'llah, long denied a befitting entrance through the deliberate obstruction by the enemies of the faith. Public access to the heart of the Qibla of the Baha'i world is now made possible through traversing the sacred precincts leading successively to the holy court and the outer and inner sanctuaries of the blessed threshold of the Holy of Holies. Recent events prelude the acquisition and development of over 30 acres of property surrounding Baha'u'llah's resting place and paving the way for the erection in the course of future decades of a befitting mausoleum destined to enshrine the dust of the founder of God's most holy faith. Shoghi, cablegram, June 11, 1952. The summons of the Lord of Hosts. The steady expansion of the activities conducted so devotedly and so efficiently during the last 12 months by the members of the valiant and exemplary American Baha'i community under the aegis of their elected national representatives is such as to evoke feelings of deep and sincere admiration in my heart and will serve to heighten the esteem in which they are held by their brethren in every continent of the globe. The completion of the interior ornamentation of the holiest house of worship ever to be raised by the followers of the faith of Baha'u'llah, the initiation of the landscaping of the immediate approaches of this sacred and majestic edifice, the actual launching of the highly promising, profoundly significant African campaign, through the arrival and settlement of American pioneers in both East and West Africa, the energetic efforts exerted for the multiplication of Baha'i administrative institutions, and the stimulation and consolidation of the all-important teaching work throughout the states of the American Union, the generous, the unhesitating, and effectual support extended to the newly fledged communities in Latin America in their efforts for the consolidation of the administrative structure so laboriously erected in recent years, the ready and enthusiastic response to the worldwide call for a befitting celebration by the entire Baha'i world of the 100th anniversary of the birth of Baha'u'llah's prophetic mission, the magnificent services already rendered by the recently elevated American hands for the cause of God in diversified spheres of Baha'i activity at the world center of the faith, and the triple function of hastening the construction of the Bab Sepulchre, of consolidating the ties binding the International Baha'i Council to the civil authorities of Israel, and of completing the design of the projected Mashrik al-Azkar on Mount Carmel, as well as in Latin America. The repeated contributions made for the erection of that sepulcher, for the extension of the high international endowment, and the institution of the Hazarat al-Qut in Kampala. The marvelous loyalty demonstrated in connection with the repeated defection of members of the Holy Family and the nefarious activities of covenant breakers, both old and new, as well as the share a number of these hands have had in administering a stunning defeat to the enemies of the faith who so boldly and shamelessly sought, through legal action, to challenge the authority of the guardian of the faith and to publicly humiliate the institution created through the provisions of Abdu'l-Bahá's testament. The further unfoldment of the European project through the initiation of the two historic conferences held in the Low Countries and in the Iberian Peninsula. In the convocation of the Fateful Conference in Rome, heralding the formation of the Italo-Swiss National Assembly, the fairest fruit of that mighty project. These stand out as the distinctive, the unforgettable, the infinitely meritorious achievements which posterity will record as the noblest exploits immortalizing the concluding years of the second seven-year plan and conferring untold benefits on its executors throughout the length and breadth of the great Republic of the West. So notable a record, such splendid achievements, investing, as they inevitably must, the American Baha'i community with the potentialities so essential for the adequate conduct of the impending 10-year plan that will constitute the third and last stage in the initial epoch in the unfoldment of Abdul Baha's plans, and auguring well for the triumphant conclusion of the present seven-year plan, can and must, if the star of this enviable community is to continue to rise rapidly and uninterruptedly to its meridian, be converted into a stepping stone for the achievements of such feats as will not only outshine the splendor of the services already enumerated, but constitute a befitting termination to the second collective enterprise undertaken in American Baha'i history in the service of the cause of Baha'u'llah and for the execution of the grand design conceived by the center of his covenant. A support extended by a self-sacrificing, high-minded, ever-alert community for the erection of the drum of the sepulcher of the Bab and the raising of its crowning unit, the dome itself, must in the course of this current year be consistently maintained both by the individual members of this community and the body of its elected representatives. The assistance required for the acquisition of extensive properties comprising both lands and houses in the immediate neighborhood of the Most Holy Tomb in Baji and for the embellishment of the approaches of that hallowed shrine, Qibla of the Baha'i world, as a necessary prelude to the ultimate erection of a befitting mausoleum to enshrine the remains of God's supreme manifestation on earth, must be generously and systematically extended. The scheme of landscaping the area surrounding the recently completed Mother Temple of the West in time for its consecration and formal opening for public Baha'i worship must be rapidly and carefully carried out. The subsidiary plan formulated for the intensification of the campaign of internal expansion and consolidation in every state of the American Republic must be assiduously executed and under no circumstances be allowed to deteriorate or to fall into abeyance. The flow of pioneers to the African continent, to Liberia, North Africa, West and East Africa, must, at whatever cost, and while there is yet time, be substantially accelerated as the essential prerequisite to the 10-year crusade to be launched by no less than five national assemblies in the African continent on the morrow of the celebrations of the impending Holy Year. The process of multiplication of Baha'i local assemblies in the 10 goal countries of Europe, and particularly in Italy and Switzerland, and the preparatory measures required to ensure the success of the twin historic assemblages destined to commemorate the last year of the seven-year enterprise launched in the European continent, the European Teaching Conference in Luxembourg, and the Italo-Swiss Convention in Florence, must be pushed forward with extreme care, vigilance, and vigor. The utmost help and the necessary guidance must be vouchsafed to the newly emerged sister communities in both Central and South America to enable them to consummate their spontaneously undertaken plans, so vital to their future association with the organized communities in both the Eastern and Western hemispheres in the prosecution of the worldwide undertaking destined to be launched on the morrow of the celebration of the approaching Great Jubilee. Above all, the most carefully, prayerful, concentrated attention must be given by your assembly in conjunction with the several national committees appointed for this purpose to the adequate celebration of the fast approaching Holy Year, both locally, nationally, and internationally, with particular emphasis on the three outstanding functions which the members of this assembly must discharge, namely, solemn consecration of the completed house of worship and the commemoration of its jubilee, formal convocation of the Intercontinental Conference, and the holding of the annual convention in Wilmette, and the effective participation of the members of the American Baha'i community, both officially and unofficially, in the three other historic intercontinental conferences to be convened successively in Kampala, Stockholm, and New Delhi. The tasks ahead calling for the expenditure of every ounce of energy on the part of the members of the indefatigable, irresistibly advancing, majestically unfolding American Baha'i community, and for the unrelaxing vigilance of its national elected representatives, are immense, highly diversified, truly challenging, sacred in character, undreamt of in their potentialities, urgent by their very nature, and inescapable in the responsibilities they involve. At the world center of the faith, where at long last the machinery of its highest institutions has been erected, and around whose most holy shrines the supreme organs of its unfolding order are, in their embryonic form, unfolding. Amidst the diversified tribes and races, peopling the dependencies and principalities of the dark continent of Africa, in the far-flung territories of Central and South America, so alien in culture, temperament, habits, language, and outlook, in the capital cities and traditional strongholds of a materially highly advanced, yet spiritually famished, much tormented, fear-ridden, hopelessly sundered, heterogeneous conglomeration of races, nations, sects, and classes overspreading the continent of Europe. In the heart of the African continent, in the capital city of the Indian subcontinent, in one of the leading capitals of the Scandinavian countries in Northern Europe, in the very heart of the leading republic of the Western Hemisphere, the standard bearers of the faith of Baha'u'llah, the champion builders of the administrative order, the vanguard of the heralds of his world order, and the chief and appointed executors of the master plan of the center of his covenant, have, in the course of the few fast leading months ahead, separating them from the grandest crusade thus far launched in Baha'i history, been assigned tasks, obligations, and responsibilities that they can afford to neither minimize, neglect, or shirk for a moment. Within only a few weeks, the Baha'i world will enter upon the centenary of that fateful day of August the 15th, when a dastardly act, fraught with such terrible consequences, unleashed a series of tragic events that stained the annals of the faith, that precipitated calamities on a scale unprecedented since its inception, and unsurpassed in their tragic character by any event except the martyrdom of its herald. It culminated in an holocaust reminiscent of the direst tribulations undergone by the persecuted followers of any previous religion, and which in turn paved the way, even as the darkest hour of the night precedes the dawn, for the first glimmerings that were to proclaim to an unsuspecting world, and amidst the gloom and stench of the Sayyid Shal of Tehran, the birth of the mission of the founder of our faith. Less than 4 months separate us from the centenary celebrations designed to befittingly commemorate that glorious event in Baha'i history. An event even more potent in its implications in the birth of the Bobby dispensation, and yielding in sacredness to none other except the memorable occasion when the founder of the faith himself ascended the throne of his spiritual sovereignty and formally assumed in the city of Baghdad his prophetic office. The radiance of God's infant light shining within the walls of that pestilential pit, the radiance and infinitesimal glimmer of which, as the founder of the faith himself later testified, caused the dwellers of Sinai to swoon away, seemed, as it were, to be intermingled whilst Baha'u'llah lay in chains and fetters in that subterranean dungeon. And for many months after, with the somberness of the tragedy which enveloped the members of a persecuted community in almost every province of that hapless land, the dawning light of the revelation promised and lauded by the Bab marks the termination of the second and darker crisis in the annals of the Babi dispensation and signalizes the commencement of a 10-year-long crisis, the first of the three successive ones that left their lasting imprint on his ministry. Little wonder that in the months immediately ahead, when our thoughts are fixed upon those days which heralded the outbreak of this reign of unprecedented terror and the outburst of a light of such inconceivable brightness, and in the 12-month period immediately following, when we commemorate the centenary of that reign of terror, as well as throughout the succeeding decade, constituting the 100th anniversary of the period following the birth of so glorious a mission, little wonder that the followers of the author of such a revelation should be called upon to pour forth as a ransom for so much suffering and in thanksgiving for such priceless benefits conferred upon mankind, their substance, exert themselves to the utmost, scale the summits of self-sacrifice, accomplish the most valorous feats, and through a concerted, determined, consecrated 10-year-long effort, achieve their greatest victories in honor of the founder of their faith, in grateful memory of his unnumbered slaughtered servants, and for the world establishment and ultimate triumph of his embryonic world order. The four intercontinental conferences constituting the highlights of the centenary celebrations commemorating this unique period in Baha'i history, commingling so much tragedy as well as the public consecration of the most holy house of worship ever to be raised for the glory of the most great name, must alike proclaim in no uncertain voice the significance of the happenings which, 100 years ago, endowed mankind with a potency unapproached at any period in the world's spiritual history, and signalize the inauguration of what may yet come to be regarded as a period of collective, administrative, and teaching accomplishments distinguishing the formative age of our faith and endowed with a fertility comparable to that which marked the spiritual feats of the dawnbreakers of the heroic age which preceded it. To the members of the valorous American Baha'i community, chosen trustees and principal executors of Abdu'l-Baha's divine plan, who by virtue of the mission entrusted to them by the center of Baha'u'llah's covenant have been empowered and are fully qualified to assume a preponderating role in the conduct of this world-encompassing crusade. To the long-suffering, the unflinching, the much-loved and steadfast members of the venerable and still persecuted community of Baha'u'llah's followers laboring in his native land, whose spiritual ancestors have left a legacy of unsurpassed heroism and saintliness, to the rising generation in both the East and the West, to the members of the small yet intensely alive community dwelling in the heart and center of the far-flung British Commonwealth of Nations, whose destiny is to lend a notable impetus to the progress of this world crusade, through awakening the vast and heterogeneous multitudes that owe allegiance to the British Crown and are dispersed throughout the five continents of the globe, to the members of the equally small, yet virile and highly promising community planted in the heart of the European continent, whose mission is to spread the light of the faith throughout the regions that lie in its neighborhood and project its radiance as far as the heart of the Asiatic continent. To the members of the newly emerged yet swiftly advancing community established in the Dominion of Canada, worthy allies of the American Baha'i community in the furtherance of the grand design delineated in Abdu'l-Bahá's immortal tablets. To the members of the loyal, the assiduously laboring and highly diversified community in the Indian subcontinent, whose geographic position entitles them to extend substantial assistance to the prodigious task of awakening the peoples of Southeast Asia to the redemptive message of Baha'u'lláh. To the members of the second most persecuted yet resolute community established in the heart of both the Arab and Muslim worlds, who, by virtue of the position they occupy, must play a distinctive part in the emancipation of a proscribed faith in the fetters of religious orthodoxy. To the members of the youthful yet vigorously functioning community championing the cause of Baha'u'lláh in the Antipodes, who, by reason of their close proximity, are expected to contribute a substantial share to the establishment of the institutions of the faith in the numerous and widely scattered islands and archipelagos of the South Pacific Ocean. To the members of a long-established yet still persecuted community dwelling in a territory which may well rank next to the Holy Land and the cradle of our faith as the most holy in the entire Baha'i world, who are destined to share with their brethren in Persia, Egypt, and Pakistan in the task of achieving the recognition of the downtrodden faith by the ecclesiastical leaders of Islam. To the newly fledged, spiritually alert communities of Central and South America, who, by virtue of the responsibilities invested in the inhabitants of the Western Hemisphere, to the ringing call of Baha'u'lláh in the Akhtas and the utterances of the center of his covenant, are expected by their brethren in both the East and the West to worthily play their part as associates of the chief executors of the plan bequeathed by Abdu'l-Bahá. To the members of the communities in Italy and Switzerland, as yet in the embryonic stage of their development, and who will soon take their place as an independent entity in the international Baha'i community, and must assume their share in planting the banner of a triumphant faith in the heart of a continent regarded as the cradle of Western civilization, as well as in the stronghold and nerve center of the most powerful church in Christendom. Indeed, to each and every believer, whether isolated or associated with any local assembly or group, who, though as yet unidentified with any specific national plan for the systematic prosecution of this crusade, can still, and indeed must, lend his particular assistance in this gigantic enterprise. To all, without distinction of race, nation, class, color, age, or sex, I feel moved, as the fateful hour of a memorable centenary approaches, to address my plea with all the fervor of my soul can command and all the love that my heart contains to rededicate themselves collectively and individually to the task that lies ahead of them. Under whatever conditions, the dearly loved, the divinely sustained, the onward marching legions of the army of Baha'u'lláh may be laboring, in whatever theater they may operate, in whatever climes they may struggle, whether in the cold and inhospitable territories beyond the Arctic Circle, or in the torrid zones of both the eastern and western hemispheres, on the borders of the jungles of Burma, Malaya, and India, on the fringes of the deserts of Africa and of the Arabian Peninsula, in the lonely, faraway, backward, and sparsely populated islands dotting the Atlantic, Pacific, and the Indian Oceans and the North Sea, amidst the diversified tribes of the Negroes of Africa, the Eskimos and the Laps of the Arctic regions, the Mongolians of East and Southeast Asia, the Polynesians of the South Pacific Islands, the reservations of the Red Indians in both American continents, the Maoris of New Zealand, the Aborigines of Australia, within the time-honored strongholds of both Christianity and Islam, whether it be in Mecca, Rome, Cairo, Najaf, or Karbala, or in towns and cities whose inhabitants are either immersed in crass materialism or breathe the fetid air of an aggressive racialism, or find themselves bound by the chains and fetters of a haughty intellectualism, or have fallen a prey to the forces of a blind and militant nationalism, or are steeped in the atmosphere of a narrow and intolerant ecclesiasticism, to them all, as well as to those who, as the fortunes of this fate-laden crusade prosper, will be called upon to unfurl the standard of an all-conquering faith in the strongholds of Hinduism and assist in the breaking up of a rigid, age-long caste system, who will replace the seminaries and monasteries acting as the nurseries of the Buddhist faith with the divinely ordained institutions of Baha'u'llah's victorious order, who will penetrate the jungles of the Amazon, scale the mountain fastnesses of Tibet, establish direct contact with the teeming and hapless multitude in the interior of China, Mongolia, and Japan, sit with the leprous, consort with the outcast in their penal colonies, traverse the steppes of Russia, or scatter throughout the wastes of Siberia, I direct my impassioned appeal to obey, as befits his warriors, the summons of the Lord of Hosts, and prepare for that day of days when his victorious battalions will, to the accompaniment of hosannas from the invisible angels in the Abha kingdom, celebrate the hour of final victory. Oh, that I could travel, Abdu'l-Bahá, crying out from the depths of his soul, gives utterance to his longing in a memorable passage in the Tablets of the Divine Plan addressed to the North American believers. Even though on foot and in the utmost poverty, to these regions and raising the call of Yah Baha'u'llah in cities, villages, mountains, deserts, and oceans, promote the divine teachings. This, alas, I cannot do. How intensely I deplore it. Please God, ye may achieve it. Teach ye the cause of God, O people of Baha, the author of our faith himself admonishes his followers. For God hath prescribed unto everyone the duty of proclaiming his message, and regardeth it as the most meritorious of all deeds. Should anyone arise for the triumph of our cause, him will God render victorious, though tens of thousands of enemies be leagued against him. They that have forsaken their country, he assures them, for the purpose of teaching our cause, these shall the faithful spirit strengthen through its power. Such a service is indeed the prince of all goodly deeds and the ornament of every goodly act. When the hour cometh that this wronged and broken-winged bird will have taken its flight into the celestial concourse, Abdu'l-Bahá's last poignant call to the entire body of the followers of his father's faith, as recorded in his will and testament, it is incumbent upon the friends and loved ones, one and all, to bestir themselves and arise with heart and soul, and in one accord, to teach his cause and promote his faith. It behooveth them not to rest for a moment. They must disperse themselves in every land and travel throughout all regions. Be stirred without rest and steadfast to the end. They must raise in every land the cry of Yah Baha'u'llah, that throughout the east and the west a vast concourse may gather under the shadow of the Word of God, that the sweet savors of holiness may be wafted, that men's faces may be illumined, that their hearts may be filled with the divine spirit, and their souls become heavenly. No matter how long the period that separates them from ultimate victory, however arduous the task, however formidable the exertions demanded of them, however dark the days which mankind, perplexed and sorely tried, must in its hour of travail traverse. However severe the tests, with which they who are to redeem its fortunes will be confronted, however afflictive the dart puts their present enemies, as well as those whom Providence will, through his mysterious dispensations, raise up from within or fall without, or from without, may rain upon them, however grievous the ordeal of temporary separation from the heart and nerve center of their faith, which future unforeseeable disturbances may impose upon them. I adjure them by the precious blood that flowed in such great profusion, by the lives of the unnumbered saints and heroes who were immolated, by the supreme and glorious sacrifice of the prophet herald of our faith, by the tribulations which its founder himself willingly underwent so that his cause might live, his order might redeem a shattered world, and its glory might suffuse the entire planet. I adjure them, as this solemn hour draws nigh, to resolve never to flinch, never to hesitate, never to relax, until each and every objective in the plan to be proclaimed at a later date has been fully consummated. Your true brother, Shoghi. June 30, 1952. Fulfillment of National Teaching Plans. Recall with feelings of profound emotion, as mid-August approaches, the distressing circumstances attending the dastardly act which, 100 years ago, precipitated the chain of calamitous events unparalleled in scope and severity in the annals of the faith of Baha'u'llah, and constituting, next to the martyrdom of its herald, the darkest, bloodiest, and most tragic episode of the heroic age of the Baha'i dispensation. Invite members of all communities of the Baha'i world, standing at the threshold of the holy year, to call to mind the manifold tribulations afflicting God's infant faith immediately preceding, accompanying, and following the imprisonment of the author of the Baha'i Revelation in the Sayyid Chow of Tehran. The somber scene of the birth of his glorious mission. Urge them to remember the multitude of barbarous acts in which king, government, people, and ecclesiastics participated, to ponder the ferocious character of the persecution, and to meditate upon the vastness of their range, as well as their far-reaching consequences. Request them to dwell particularly upon the seeming helplessness of God's struggling faith, and direct special attention to the ordeals undergone by Baha'u'llah, its sole surviving pillar, subsequent to the birth of his mission, his ultimate banishment, and culminating in his incarceration in the Holy Land and in the fulfillment of age-long prophecies. Address to them, as well as to their national representatives, my last appeal here at the commencement of the forthcoming centenary celebrations, to exert in the course of the critical fleeting months ahead one final supreme effort to ensure complete total success of all plans formulated by national assemblies in every continent of the globe, culminating in the Rizwan period, falling in the middle and marking the central features of the celebrations of the holy year. Supplicating God's bountiful blessings on each and every national enterprise, the triumphant consummation of which will be regarded by posterity as a befitting tribute paid by their participants to the immortal memory of the unexampled heroism of the dawnbreakers of the apostolic age of the dispensation of Baha'u'llah, and will crown the festivities commemorating the centenary of the birth of his mission, and will constitute a worthy prelude to the launching of the global spiritual crusade destined to culminate in the 100th anniversary of the formal assumption by the author of the Baha'i Revelation of his prophetic office, and to diffuse the radiance of his faith over the face of the entire planet. Share a message with all national assemblies. Shoghi. Cablegram, August 5, 1952. Launching the world-embracing spiritual crusade. hail with feelings of humble thankfulness and unbounded joy, opening of the holy year commemorating the centenary of the rise of the orb of Baha'u'llah's most sublime revelation, marking the consummation of the 6,000-year cycle ushered in by Adam, glorified by all past prophets, and sealed with the blood of the author of the Bābī dispensation. Evoke on this auspicious occasion a glorious memory and acclaim the immortal exploits of the dawnbreakers of the apostolic age of the Baha'i dispensation in the cradle of the faith, and the mighty feats of the champion builders of its rising world order in the Western Hemisphere, as well as the multitude of valorous achievements of the past and present generations of their brethren in the European, Asiatic, African, and Australian continents, whose combined accomplishments during the 109 years of its existence contributed to the survival of God's struggling faith, the reinforcement of its infant strength, the safeguarding of the unity of its supporters, the preservation of the integrity of its teachings, the enrichment of the lives of its followers, the rise of the institutions of its administrative order, the fashioning of the agencies for the systematic diffusion of its light, and the broadening and the consolidation of its foundations. Moved to express a confident hope as the centenary celebrations now commencing attain their climax during the approaching Rizwan period, that the plans formulated by the valiant members of the Baha'i world community in the five continents may each and all, through their victorious consummation, add distinct fresh luster to the worldwide festivities constituting the collective tribute paid by the followers of the Most Great Name to the memory of the august founder of their faith, in honor of the centenary of the birth of his mission and the eternal glory of his embryonic, majestically unfolding world order. Feel our propitious to proclaim to the entire Baha'i world the projected launching on the occasion of the convocation of the approaching intercontinental conferences on the four continents of the globe, the fate-laden, soul-stirring, decade-long, world-embracing spiritual crusade involving the simultaneous initiation of 12 national 10-year plans and the concerted participation of all national spiritual assemblies of the Baha'i world, aiming at the immediate extension of Baha'u'llah's spiritual dominion as well as the eventual establishment of the structure of his administrative order in all remaining sovereign states, principal dependencies comprising principalities, sultanates, emirates, sheikhdoms, protectorates, trust territories, and crown colonies scattered over the surface of the entire planet. The entire body of the avowed supporters of Baha'u'llah's all-conquering faith are now summoned to achieve in a single decade feats eclipsing in totality the achievements which in the course of the 11 preceding decades illuminated the annals of Baha'i pioneering.
This is the end of side one, ending near the bottom of page 41. This letter will continue on side two. Please turn the cassette.